Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Well, if anybody here thinks that the Lord is good and he's been good to you, just give him a shout. We bless you. You're a good, good God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Tell two or three people, say, the Lord is good to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can't stop praising his name.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here for our last day of 40 days celebrating the 40 years of God's goodness. He's been more than good those 40 years. He's been faithful. He's been awesome. He's been gracious. Amen. And, you know, Friday night we had our banquet, and we had a good time. All the women looked so beautiful, and all the men looked so handsome. Everybody looked like the glory of God was on them, right? And they spent a lot of time picking out what they were going to wear. So it was just great. It was just great. Amen? It was almost perfect. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you were there. So, but anyway. But we had a blessed time. And so one of the ushers, she just said, we should do that more often. Well, not that, but we can dress up and go somewhere, just not at a high-priced hotel. But anyway, no, just kidding. So today we have the pleasure of receiving the word from Minister Helen Trowbridge. Amen. So we wanted her to come to help us celebrate 40 years of God's goodness. You know, she's been in ministry for quite some time now. And she's been a lot of places. She's met a lot of people. She's seen a lot of things. She's done a lot of things. And she's an anointed woman of God. And she's powerful. And I just appreciate her ministry. I like how candid she is. She doesn't hold back. You know, she's not trying to be, what do they call it? Religious or politically correct. Y'all know what that means. But so she's just a real woman of God. And so we're just excited to have you here, Minister Helen. We're glad you accepted the invitation and that you are available. And so we're going to move the podium down for her and get ready for her. Amen. And just keep playing the keyboards. Yeah. So while they put that down here, why don't you just stand to your feet and just welcome Minister Helen Trowbridge.
God bless you this morning, Living Faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Faithful, amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we rejoice today. We re- rejoice in who you are. We rejoice that we are in you, in him, and everything that we need today for life and for godliness is in you. We walk in you. We talk in you. We move in you. Father, we love you today. We give you the glory. Father, we just want to say today, thank you. Thank you for 40 years of successful and powerful ministry in this area of New Jersey. We thank you for Pastor Connie. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy for the people of this house. God, we thank you that your presence goes before us and the glory of the Lord is our rear guard. And we look forward to the future. We look forward for what you're going to do, what you've already started. And you who begin a good work, God, you will complete it in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, I ask that you anoint your word. May it not be my words, my opinions, God, but may it come straight from the heart of the Heavenly Father. I love you, Lord. I adore you and I bless you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated in his presence this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. God bless you. I really enjoyed that this morning. Amen. I love that. I live. I live. I live. I live. Look at somebody say, I live. Hallelujah. I'm living in him. Hallelujah. Just want to give honor to God, of course, whom I've loved since I was a little girl. I thank God today that I got saved as a small child, got filled with the Holy Ghost at 11 years old, got it the old-fashioned way. You know, someone didn't lay hands on me and all of a sudden, ha-la-la-la-la-la-ba-shata. Got it the old way. I was laying flat on my back on the floor like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, hold on. So I held on. Somebody said, let go. I didn't know whether to let go or hold on, but God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful for it today. That Holy Spirit is my guide and my director. And I thank God for that. I honor the memory today of Pastor Lamont, a man of God, a man of faith, a man with a vision, a man of strength, a man of power. We honor him today for help for birthing this ministry, Living Faith Christian Center. I believe my daddy used to tell me that up in heaven there were portals. And I just believe perhaps today and maybe all this month, God's let Pastor Lamont looked down from one of those portals in heaven, and he is rejoicing with us today and all this month for what God has done, amen, and what God continues to do. And to the woman of this house, I bless you, I honor you, I respect you. I don't think there's another woman minister that I respect more than you. Of all the churches that I've ministered in, I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I'm saying that because it's the truth. Because one day you woke up and everything had changed, and the Lord said to you, Pastor Connie, Pastor. And you said, yes, Lord. Success is knowing the will of God and doing it. We think success is other things. But this woman is a successful woman because she obeyed God. And your greatest days are yet to come. The greatest days of healing, deliverance, and miracles, that which you have prayed for, that which you sought God for all of these years, you shall see it before your eyes close and you go to glory. Every promise God promised you over this house, over your life, you shall see it in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord some praise. I would be remiss today, I'm going to get right into my message, but I would be remiss, first of all, I am so humbled to be here today for so many reasons, but with all of the hundreds of well-known people who have stepped into this place, I am not one of them. I'm not on TBN, I'm not on Daystar, all of those people that have passed through this place, this is a very holy place. And I'm humbled to stand here today. And the truth is, You know, I would not be here if it had not been for a woman named Gwen Jackson. You all call her Minister Gwen. Now she's pastoring with her husband in Jacksonville. So, Gwen, if you're watching, my friend, I want to thank you because I think she bugged Pastor Connie. You need to have Helen. I don't know if she said Stubblefield or Trowbridge. I don't know which one because my name is Trowbridge now. But I think you need to have Sister Helen come, and, you know. And it's because of you, Gwen. And I just want to honor you and thank you for your kindness. And I'm here on a mission today. I'm here on a mission. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow, we're going to go through a whole chapter, Isaiah 62. Now, the Lord gave me Isaiah 62 about 30 years ago. I know this is going to sound funny, but I have not preached from this particular chapter in over 25 years. And the Lord brought this scripture back to me for this house. This word today is for you personally, and this word today is for Living Faith Christian Center. You see, I believe that God is about to do his greatest work in us. And I'm here to encourage you. We thank God for the past, but I want you to look at somebody and say, you ain't seen anything yet. Say, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. I believe that with my whole heart. And this, I want you to take this today personally, and I want you to take it as a church. As a person, take it for your own life, for your family, and for this house. It says here in Isaiah 62, and I'm reading out of the NIV, he says, for Zion's sake, verse 1, I will not keep silent. For the sake of my church, for the sake of my kingdom, he says, I for Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. For the sake of my children, for the sake of LFCC, I will not remain quiet. God is saying here, I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm not going to be still. I'm compelled to say something. I'm compelled, God says, to act on my word. I will not give up. I will not shut up. I will not be still because I have a stake in this church and I have a stake in your life. He said, there are kingdom purposes that we are yet to fulfill. And he says, I won't let go. I'm holding on, and I will keep my promises that I have made to this house. I will keep my promises that I have made to you. This is a sacred place of worship. I will not give up, let go until my purposes are fulfilled in this house. Till my purposes are fulfilled in your life. Till you become what I've called you to become. I will never give up. Put your hand on your heart and say, God's not giving up on me, my family, this family, right here. And then he says, tell her vindication shines out like the dawn. Another version says, tell her righteousness shines like the dawn. Because God says to you today, I'm going to prove to the people around you that have been watching you, that are watching this house, that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. My hand is on you. I have saved you. I have kept you. I have rescued you. I have covered you. I'm going to show people your heart. I'm going to show people your faithfulness, that you are in me and I am in you, and that you have held up a standard of righteousness, and you have held up a standard of faith, and I have got you. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. He says, I'm not going to shut up till your salvation shines like a blazing torch. Revival is coming. Look at somebody, say, revival is coming. I want to speak to this house. There is a fire within you, and there's a fire within this woman's spirit. This fire is getting ready to overtake our lives, and even in your homes, this fire is going to shine so brightly that people who have never noticed this building will drive by, and literally, they will think they're seeing smoke, but it is the fire of the Holy Ghost in this place, moving, leading, directing, protecting, and the fire has come to save, and the fire has come to heal, and the fire has come to deliver, and the fire is coming to set the captives free, to bring out people out of addictions and out of bondages, to save people from suicidal, people from suicidal demonic spirits. To restore marriages and families, to restore lives. This church is not just a church of faith, but this church will become a lighthouse to the community and shine brightly over South Jersey in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the fire? Are you ready for the power of God to come? We shall see it. Then I love this next verse. He says, and all the kings will see your glory. God says, I'm getting ready to do something through this house that will not just be here for Christians, but or those who are coming for Christ, but people of influence, people of power, kings, mayors, business owners. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. People of influence and authority will be touched by my glory through this house. Somebody ought to be shouting. That's what God's going to do. You need to know it starts at the head. So that means if God's going to do it in the house, he's going to do it in you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The banker, the mortgage broker, the grant writer, the boss. The influence of this house is going to increase and go out into the community, hallelujah, to win the lost, to open doors, for creative ways to reach the community, and we will become a place of influence. Say influence. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where there was somebody in your life, by saying yes or no, had the power to change your life. Been there. Where one person had the power to say, yes, you get the job. No, you don't get the job. I'm telling you, God is changing and switching and rearranging, and stuff that's been on the no desk in your life is God is turning to the yes desk. Look at somebody and say, it's going to the yes desk. Several years ago, I was preaching in an Armenian church in the country of the Netherlands. I didn't know what I was talking about, except the Holy Ghost was speaking through me. And I went up to this couple. I didn't know them, didn't know anything about them. And I said, the Lord is moving your papers from the no desk to the yes desk. They got up and started shouting and turned around. I had no idea. They'd lived in Holland illegally for 11 years. They had done everything they could to get their papers, to get settled in Holland, and every time it would go to the no desk. Within 7 days of me saying that, their papers went to the yes desk. Hallelujah. Telling somebody's papers today, are going from the no desk to the yes desk. You better give somebody a high five and say, your papers are going to the yes desk. Whatever you need from God, it's yours. I just want to say to the sister over here, honey, if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. You got to believe it, honey, to receive it. You got to believe that God wants to switch things around, turn things around, and shift on your behalf. Hallelujah. Then the next verse says, you'll be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. In the Old Testament, people's names were their character. Like Jacob, his character wasn't kind of good. It wasn't very good. And so it meant trickster, deceiver, supplanter. But when Jacob had an encounter with God, God changed his name to Israel, to he who strove with God and won. There may not be a literal name change of Living Faith Christian Center, but there's going to be a spiritual name change. We're going to have, even as individuals, new character, a new nature. You see, Pastor Connie said, if I heard her correctly a few weeks ago, she said, She said, we can't do things the same way the next 40 years as we've done it this 40 years. There's got to be a change. Time to make a change. We are the people that can do it. I said it's time to make a change. We are the people that can do it. God said the old had its season and the new has come. New nature, new character, divine enhancement of what you already are. Stepping up to another level in the spirit, you see, attitudes that we tolerated, things that we tolerated in our life, our character and our nature is being reformed. You know, the word for anointing in the Old Testament literally means, it's synonymous with the word perfume, but it also means greasy. God getting ready to give you a new anointing. Amen. Things that used to stick to you, things that made you mad, things you couldn't tolerate, things that set you up on your last nerve. Honey, that stuff, you're going to get a new anointing. And all that stuff that the devil tried to stick is just going to, because you're greasy. Get a new anointing. It's time for a new anointing. It's time for a change. You got to be so greasy that nothing the devil does to you sticks. Forgive me, but a lot of people are sick in the body of Christ today. In their bodies. They're sick in their minds too, but I want to speak to bodies. Because when you let the devil hit you and you keep that thing, you keep that bitterness, you keep that unforgiveness, you keep that bad attitude towards something or somebody, what you don't realize is that puts, I call it spiritual keloids, because you have not been greasy. That stuff not dealt with, not healed, not laid at the foot of the cross, causes you to get sick. And we want to blame it on grandma. Grandma had the sugar, so I got the sugar. No sugar, sugar, that's not it. That is not it. You have let that stuff, and you're saying, well, I have a right to feel the way I do. Ooh, you don't know what was done to me. And sir and ma'am, I do not know what was done to you, but I know this. I am not responsible for what other people do to me, but I am responsible for my responses. They hurled their insults at Jesus. 1 Peter 2:23, they hurled their insults at Jesus. They mistreated him. They talked about him. The Bible says Jesus did not speak a word, but he turned himself over to the one who judges justly. Do I need to repeat that again? He turned himself over, not he turned them over. Because I've spent a lot of time trying to turn other folk over who did me wrong. And the Lord said, Helen, read the scripture again. Turn yourself over. And then Jesus said, the enemy cometh, but he can find nothing in me. What is getting ready to happen to the body of Christ for those who will yield themselves to a new anointing? God will make us so greasy that there's nothing the devil can do to get us off track. There's nothing the devil can do to get us mad, to lose our temper, to get an attitude, because a new anointing is coming to this house and to you. Say, I want a new anointing. Say, I want a new anointing. Say, Lord, make me greasy. Say, make me so greasy that nothing the devil does sticks. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's important as we come to a new anointing that we understand how important it is. As Psalm 92 says, those who are planted in the house will flourish in the courts of my God. The day of running from church to church to church to church is over. You see, there is a difference in being potted and being planted. You can be potted, but you're not planted. Go on vacation for a few weeks and leave your potted plants. By the time you get home, they'll be dead. Because they are dependent on other people to water them. They are dependent on other people. But when you are planted and your roots are deep, your roots know how to get water, a resource from the soil of the Word of God. You're not just standing there like a baby bird, feed me somebody, feed me. You're not potted, you're planted. Look at somebody, say, are you planted? Those who are planted will flourish in the courts of my God. This church will be planted. We will be strong. We will flourish. And for anybody in here over 50, that couldn't be you, of course. The Bible says we will still bear fruit in old age. Woo-hoo. One of the versions says they'll be fat and flourishing. Well, you know, I've got the fat part covered. But I want to flourish in Jesus' name. I want to be that anointed one. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Say, our best days are yet to come. Say, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the future. I want to tell you, this work has not been a work of a man. This work has been a work of the Holy Spirit. And God is going to sustain Living Faith Christian Center, I believe, until Jesus Christ returns. Hallelujah. With us or without us, God will do his work. And then the next verse says, you'll be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hands. You know, you're going to know who you are. You're going to understand you are God's masterpiece, that you have kingship with God, that you carry authority, hallelujah, that you carry a crown of God's glory on you and the glory of his presence. Understand your position in the body of Christ. Every part of the body has a place. And let the small, insignificant parts, which sometimes we see ourselves as, but let the small, insignificant parts of a body stop working and a body gets messed up. Sister Marcia talked about working in the kingdom of God. Every part is important, from the men who meet us outside to the person that cleans the building. Everyone is royalty. Carry yourself in a manner so you know who you are. What did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say the bishop would be the greatest of them. The pastor would be the greatest of them. The one with the title. Jesus said the greatest of them would be a servant. We live our lives to serve. Somebody say, I live my life to serve. Hallelujah. Not only will we carry the crown, hallelujah, but it says we'll be a royal diadem in the hand of our God. A diadem is another type of crown. It's also worn on the head. It's not as elaborate as a crown, but it signifies rank or status. When individuals wore a diadem on their head, you automatically knew they had some rank or some status. I want to tell you, hold your head up high. Know who you are, that you're a child of the Most High God, that you are part of the kingdom of God, that you are royalty, and in the Lord's hands, nobody can stop you, nobody can drop you, nobody can mess with you, because you know who you are. He is taking us somewhere. We're not staying where we were. We are going into a whole new season with God. And then it says this, no longer will they call you deserted. No longer will people see you and see the church the way they used to see us. God's changing their eyesight. He's given them new lenses. They will see the blessing of the Lord on our lives. They will see the blessing on our marriages, on our families, on our children, on our finances, on our homes, on our church. And even if they want to say something, they won't be able to, because God's going to shut their mouths. I said, God's going to shut their mouths. And like Psalm 23 said, he will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And no matter what they try to do at the table, they may have brought their sword, but all they can do, they're just going to be so pitiful. All they can do is say, can I butter your bread? That's all they're going to be able to do. Because we know who we are in God, and he will shut the mouths of our enemies. And the truth is, get down to the truth. What other people say about Helen, what other people say about you, it's none of my business. I don't care. It's none of my business. Let people talk. They don't know who I am in God. They don't know where I've been. They don't know where you've been. They don't know the sacrifices. They don't know what you've done for the kingdom of God. They just like to talk. Don't make it your business. Don't worry about them. Say, don't worry about them. Because I'm telling you, we're coming to a place of abundance where our cup runneth over. We're going to walk in abundance of peace, of joy, of love, of the blessing of the Lord, of the salvation of our children. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. 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 No longer will they call us deserted. The next verse says, or name your land desolate. Because we are not forsaken, we are not depressed, we are not oppressed. The Lord has brought us out to bring us in. Hear me. God used Pastor Lamont as Moses. God used him to bring many of us out of religion, to bring us out of tradition. God used him to do that. He brought us out. We came into a fertile place. But God is using this woman as Joshua to bring us into the promised land. We are stepping over into the greatest days of our life. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what the word says. And he says in his word, and the latter house, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I am looking. I'm expecting. I'm believing. I am standing. Hallelujah. Oh, God is about to do. God is about to do. God is about to do. God is about to do his greatest work in you. So don't give up. Keep trusting God. Keep holding on to his word. Hallelujah. And this woman is going to stand even at an old age. As Caleb stood, Caleb at over 80 said, give me my mountain. Give me what belongs to me. Give me what was promised. I don't know if she's ever fully shared all the Lord has told her. I don't know. Don't need to know. But I want to tell you something. The Lord told this woman some things. And she stands today. She's not 80, not near it. But she stands today in front of you and says, give me my mountain. Give my people what you promised. Take us into the promised land. Take us into the place, God, that you promised us years ago, and we shall see it. Look at somebody, say, I'm going to see it with my own eyes. Hallelujah. I love that scripture in Deuteronomy 11. I'll probably read it again. Can I read this up? And may God, the God of your fathers, keep it up. And multiply you another 1,000 times and bless you as he has planned. Look at somebody, say 1,000 times. Say 1,000 times. Deuteronomy 1:11. Lift up your hands. Decrees are powerful. Say, I decree. Deuteronomy 1:11. My house, my home, my mind, my body, my spirit, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my church shall be blessed 1,000 times over as your word promised. I stand in faith and I thank you in advance, Lord, for the blessing. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he said, but you're going to be called Hephzibah. Now, I'd never name my child that. But you know what the word Hephzibah means? My delight is in her. God told me to tell you today, Pastor Connie. God told me to tell you, Living Faith, his delight is in you. You don't have to be perfect to get God's delight. Because somebody said, I don't qualify. Yes, you do. You don't have to be perfect. That's people who bring pleasure to God. We're not interested in pleasing man. We're interested in pleasing God. And we're going to bring pleasure to God. You see, let me just say this. We live in a day where the preachers get up and preach. And now I'm going to meddle. the preachers get up and preach, and they just preach God just loves everybody, and the people are sitting there, you know, yay, amen. And that statement itself is true. But I need to tell you this morning, there's a difference in God's love and God's pleasure or God's approval. And that's what the church has missed out on. Because there's a lot of people sitting in churches all around us that think they're okay. And they're doing a lot of things that aren't pleasing to God. When Jesus was baptized, God said two words over his son. This is my beloved son. And then he said, in whom I'm well pleased. He made a difference in his love and his pleasure. We're going to bring pleasure to God. We're going to bring pleasure to God. Our lives are being reformed, and we are coming into a place where when God looks down at us, he says, well done. You did good today. Proud of you. You didn't tell that guy off. Proud of you, son. Proud of you. You brought pleasure to me today. Hallelujah. We're going to be called Hephzibah. Then it says, I'm going to call your land. That means places that your hands touch. He says, I'm going to call your land Beulah. And that word Beulah literally means married. We are coming into an exclusive covenant with our God that many of us up to this moment have not experienced. Everything that we set our hands to is going to have the covenant of God upon it. Be it our business, our children, our job, our marriage, our church. Everything, some things to you that seemed secular before will not see secular anymore, because those are the things that you have covenanted with God, and God is blessing it. So everything that you set your hand to is going to have the blessing of God on it. You're going to become fruitful again. Your desire to live and to have life and that more abundantly is coming upon you. And you will be the most fruitful that you've ever been in your life. One version in the NIV, it says, as a young man marries a maiden, so your sons will marry you. And that just sounds weird, doesn't it? Because you're not going to marry your son. But that means to every parent in here, whoever you're serving, whoever you're in covenant with, your children are going to come into covenant with. Somebody just wave your hand. That means the prodigals are coming home. I said, this is the season for the prodigals to come home. This is the season. You're going to be sitting in your house, not even thinking about it, and cooking your food, and they're going to walk to the door. You haven't heard from him. You haven't seen from him. The phone is going to ring, and God is going to restore your relationship with your children, with your grandchildren, and the prodigals are coming back. This is the season, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. You're bringing us into that covenant place in every area of our life. We no longer just look to our job as a source of income, but we look at it as a place of influence in your kingdom. We look at it, God, as a place for us to be a light. God, everywhere you take us, every place our foot treads, Lord, you give to us in this season, and we thank you for it. Oh, I love the Lord. He's so good. And then it says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. Walls were put around cities for protection. There were places in the walls where there were openings where you could look out and see the enemy coming. Our lives have walls. They're for our protection. I want you to know today, angels are around this church. Angels have been protecting this house. Angels have kept the lights on. Angels have stopped things happening to this building that could have happened. God has kept and protected. Just like in your own house, instead of your air conditioning running 10 years, hallelujah, it's run 25 years and still too cold sometimes, almost, because you've got watchmen. They're better than the Secret Service. They go with you everywhere you go. They're in front of you. They're behind you. They're on the sides of you everywhere you go. You got your own angel. Hallelujah. And sometimes God makes people angels. And those people angels are keeping you covered. And they are committed and dedicated. And there's people that are committed and dedicated to this house. We may not even know them, but they're calling out our name in prayer. And they're asking God to bless and protect and heal and deliver. And we're seeing it happen. They're intercessors on the walls of your life today. I had prayed for people in the spirit, didn't know who they were. I've seen God just show me a face, and I just prayed for them in the spirit. Why? Because when you pray in the spirit, you pray according to the will of God. There's intercessors. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I got intercessors. Say, I've got angels. Say, this church has intercessors, has angels. And I love what the Lord said. It says, they'll never be silent day or night. Hallelujah. They are not part-time workers. Hallelujah. They're there day or night, 24/7. And goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our life. They've got us covered. They've got us protected. They're watching out for your children right now. Even your children that are messed up, toe up, from the flow up, all kinds of stuff right now. They're watching over them. God's got you covered. God's got you covered. I can't give a full explanation why 9/11 happened. None of us can. We don't understand the devastation. But there were a few people at 9/11, for some reason, somebody was praying for them. One of them was, it was a man's turn to go get the donuts that day. While he was getting donuts, his friends didn't make it. There was a man who bought a brand new pair of shoes. These are actually documented stories. A man who had bought a new pair of shoes and got blisters. So he stopped at the Rite Aid to get him some Band-Aids. While he was getting those Band-Aids, things happened to other people. There was a man who'd never been involved in his child's life, and he heard a voice. And the voice says, take your son to his school today for his first day of school. He'd never been involved with his kid, but he heard a voice. That man today is in the government of the United States. That man took his son to kindergarten and avoided being killed. Over 600 of his own employees that day, Cantor Fitzgerald, were killed, but he was not, because he heard a voice. He obeyed a voice. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say, God. Let us hear the angels when they speak and say, go left instead of right, God. Let us obey you, God. We thank you for your protection over us. We thank you for your protection over this church, God. You are faithful, you are good, and you are God. And we thank you. Come on, just give him a hand raise and thank him for his protection. Thank him for his keeping power. One lady was walking out her door, and she looked down, and that was back when some women were still wearing pantyhose, and she looked down, and she had a hole in her hose, and she ran back in the house and lived. Thank you, God. Now, I love the Lord. You know, with every prophetic word, there comes conditions. This is the problem I have with the prophetic movement. I've been to a lot of prophetic conferences and stuff. And we all like to get a word from God. Amen. And I love it. I try to get up as close as I can. You know, I'm kind of sticking my neck out. So maybe they'll see me. Maybe I'll get a word. But the thing that the prophets forget to tell us, with every prophetic word, there's conditions. So when you are told you're going to get blessed financially, but you still give the same way you've been given, then you get mad. Then you think the prophet was a liar, and it's just not the truth. You think the word of God is not true. There are conditions. Look at somebody, say conditions.
to every word. So here's what the Lord tells. He says, I posted watchmen on the walls of your life. But here he says this, you who call on the Lord, living faith Christian sinner, you who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, the church, you, and makes her the praise of the earth. He commands us in Isaiah 62 to pray. He commands the church to pray without ceasing. Prayer is a conversation with God, and we have made prayer a one-way street. We go to God, tell him everything we need, tell him what our problems are, our difficulties are, and then we get up. We don't wait to listen for God to respond to us. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Helen. My ways are not your ways, Helen. My ways are higher. So, Helen, you must pray to hear me. You must pray. You must be still and listen to what I'm saying. You know how Oral Roberts, and some of you may, you know, I realize times have changed. Some of you may not even know who Oral Roberts is, but Oral Roberts was a great man of faith, had a healing ministry, started in the late 40s and went for several decades. Oral Roberts was an uneducated man, and he had bought 500 acres in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because he wanted another stream of income for his family. He was going to build a horse ranch. So he goes out to the property. He loved horses. So he goes out to the property, and he just begins to go, he begins to speak in tongues. He spoke in tongues for over an hour on the property. He goes back into his car. There just happens to be a tablet, a yellow tablet in the car seat. And the Lord says, write down what I'm telling you. He wrote down the plan for Oral Roberts University. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, you pray according to the will of God. I need to tell you that I'm finding myself praying in the Spirit continually. Because the Bible says we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But we pray, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to what? The will of God. If you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, boy, today I pray in the name of Jesus. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit, so you will pray according to the will of God. Come on, lift up your hands. Say, Lord, help me. Pray according to the will of God. Don't just pray in the Spirit. Stop telling God how bad it is. Stop giving God information. God already knows you're sick. God already knows your kids are your kids. God already knows things. He knows that. Begin to thank him for what you're believing him to do. I don't ask God for anything anymore. I pray and I thank him. Oh, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. My husband's sister was a lesbian. She just passed away a few months ago. And my husband, when we would go visit her, they always had a stay at her house, she and her partner. We never pushed Jesus down on them. We just loved them, tried to love them, do the right thing. They already knew what they were doing. And if you're struggling with that today, nobody is putting you down here. We love you. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are all struggling with our own things, okay? So this is not a put down. I just want to tell you how the prayer of faith prayed with thanksgiving. My sister-in-law and her partner, they left the house that day. The house was empty. My husband and I got the anointing all out. We anointed every threshold, every door, the top of every door. We anointed every window. Listen, we went into the bedroom. We picked on them pillows, anointed underneath them pillows. We got in the shoe closet, anointed the bottom of their shoes. Everything that could be anointed in that house was anointed. And this is how we prayed. Father, we thank you. Everybody in this house loves Jesus. Father, I thank you today. There's an atmosphere in this home. Anybody who's out of kilter with you in any way, God, they have to say yes to you. There's like a magnetic force, God, pulling them toward you. God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, the steps. I even put the shoes on. I said they were way too big for me, but I put them shoes on. And I said, Father, I thank you. Everywhere you take their steps, God, you're leading them. You're guiding them. You're directing them. You're sending them toward people, God, who remind them of who they are in you. We never... Some religious folk are going to get mad. We never once rebuked the devil. We prayed in faith. We prayed with thanksgiving. Didn't rebuke the devil. We prayed in thanksgiving because greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. I said, greater is he. Why are you so afraid of the devil? You got more power than him. Holy Ghost down on the inside. I love it. I don't know if it was Smith Wigglesworth or one of those famous men. Heard some noise downstairs in his house, and he went down. He said he saw the devil sitting in a rocking chair, and he looked at the devil, and he says, oh, it's just you. I'm going back to bed. Some of y'all so afraid of the devil. I ain't afraid of the devil. I'm afraid of displeasing God. That's what I'm afraid of. Pray in faith. Pray. Lift up your hands. Say, pray with thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to say, God, put a guard over our mouth. Let us stop speaking what we feel, what we see, what we think. And let us begin to speak with thanksgiving and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I'd be wrong if I didn't finish the story. A year later, had nothing to do with us. My sister-in-law got gloriously saved. She had a private divine encounter with God. The partner moved out. Hallelujah. And so my sister-in-law only knew to go back to what she had known as a child, and that was the Catholic Church. She headed back to the Catholic Church, and she called one day, and I called her by her name. I'll say T. So I said, T, you need to go over there to Albany, Oregon, maybe 30 minutes from her house. I said, there's a prophetic center over there. If any of y'all are on the Elijah list, Chuck Pierce, all those folk. I said, you need to go over there, because I said, you need to get a dose of the ghost. So you go over there to that prophetic center. She went over there the first night. She sat on the second row. Chuck Pierce was there, prophesied over her life, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and her life was never the same. Look at somebody, say pray. Say pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray in faith. I shouldn't even have to say the pray in faith thing, because I'm at Living Faith today. I know what's preached here. Now, prophetically, I'm going to ask that you listen to these next two verses with prophetic ears. It says, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and his mighty arm. First of all, I want to tell you, there's only 47 times in the entire Bible, in the King James, where the Lord actually swears. It's not swearing like we think, curse words. When he swears, it's a solemn and irrevocable promise or oath. It emphasizes absolute certainty and trustworthiness in the Word of God. It means God has made a declaration that he will absolutely fulfill what he has promised. It is his commitment to truth over your life, the highest truth. The right hand represents the power of God, honor and status. It represents his omnipotence, his greatness over other powers, over other entities. His right hand is his surviving power and his saving power for you. If you've never heard another word, listen to what God says over this house and over you today as a declaration. He says, never again. Somebody just say never. Never. He says, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies. And never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you've toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. And those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. This is about identification of who we are. God is saying, never again. We were an old creation, but now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed and the new has come. I got a revelation of this when a couple of years ago, my husband began to have prostate problems. The first thing that came to my mind when we found out his numbers were over the chart line is my husband's father died of prostate cancer. So I'm a human being just like you, and floods of things begin to hit me left, right, everywhere. And I went to God. I knew how to declare. I knew how to decree. In fact, right now, sitting here, I've got a list that I keep of healing scriptures. I claim my healing every day. I walk in my healing. Hallelujah. And so I knew how to decree and I knew how to declare. But in that moment of my life, fear tried to grip me. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said, your husband, because he is my child and he has dedicated his life to me, he is walking in holiness and righteousness. Your husband does not have his father's DNA. Your husband has my DNA. In other words, we have got to stop looking at ourselves by our history, by how we have identified ourselves before in our lives, and we must identify ourselves, whether we're black, white, red, brown, purple, green, pink, white, it does not matter. I identify now as a child of the Most High God. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. As long as you look at yourself from an earthly stance, you will miss the blessing of God being in the spiritual stance. I do not live by the rules of this earth. I live by the rules of the kingdom of God. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old mindsets. I've never said this before in my life. I do not identify as a white person. I don't want to identify with people. Now, don't use this in the wrong way. I do not identify with people who put the smallpox vaccine in blankets and sent them to Indians and killed an entire city. I do not identify with that as a Christian. I have been saved. I have been changed. I'm part of another kingdom. I'm not a part of this world. I do not identify with that. I do not identify with people who enslaved some of your ancestors. I do not identify with those people. I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. Old things have passed away. That was then. This is now. He is my daddy. He is my daddy. I identify as a child of God. I love you. I love you. I hope you're receiving this. I hope you're receiving it. I'm praying you receive it. I'm not getting political, please. No politician, no Republican, no Democrat, No laws that have ever been made have changed my life. Let me finish. I don't care who was in office, because I am a part of the kingdom of God. So in the 80s, when there was a depression, a recession, whatever was going on, sis, I did not know what was going on. You know why I didn't know what was going on? Because I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm not bound financially. I'm not bound anyway. So I'm not going to get all uptight about what is going on, what has going on, what will going on, because I am part of a higher kingdom. I do not belong to the kingdoms of this world. And as long as I honor them, that they have power in their hands, I give them power. What I honor, I give power to. So I give power to the Most High God, who takes care of me, who sustains me. I can sit here all day and testify to you, sir, about the goodness of the Lord in my life. I have a baby grand piano sitting in my living room that was given to me, a $20,000 piano. Poof. I can name other things. I'm just telling you, that's what my daddy does. Ooh, maybe I should do a sermon called Who's Your Daddy? I just got a revelation. I think I'm going to do a sermon called Who's Your Daddy? Because I know who my daddy is. My daddy has taken care of me. Hallelujah. Through thick and thin, above all, hallelujah. My DNA comes from heaven, not this earth. And when the church gets that word, Pastor Connie, when we get it, we're going to be free. We're going to be flying so high, so above what's going on. Now, I will say something. I am grateful that in 1940-something, they established Social Security, because my daddy died when I was 7 years old. And, sir, had we not had Social Security, we would have been homeless. We had nothing. My mother was ill. She could not work. That I'm grateful for. Appreciate it. But they still not got no power over me. Take it all away. Oh, I'm going to take away the nonprofit status. Take it away. Whatever. My God shall. Do I believe in the word or do I not believe in the word? And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we want to be fighting everybody. No, honey, nobody can beat you being you. Nobody can beat a child of God who knows who they are. I don't care if you got your clothes at the Goodwill, Walmart, Neiman Markup. It doesn't make no difference. Nobody can beat you being you. I see these two young men sitting here. Young men of destiny. Young men of purpose. Don't anybody ever tell you you can't do something. If God is with you, the whole world can be against you. God will make a way for you, son, out of no way. I don't know you, son. And I know your parents probably made you come here today. It's okay if they did. You are gifted. I just got to obey God. You are gifted. You are creative. You have a really deep mind. You think deep. I love that about you. Don't know you. That's just what God's showing me about you. Nobody can keep you from being the man God's called you to be. He'll give you money to go to college. He'll make a way. When the world can't make a way for you, God will make a way for you. That is the God I serve. I said, that is the God I serve. That is the God I serve. Do you believe the word or don't you? Do you believe the word or don't you? I believe the word. I gotta calm down. Pray for me, pray for me. You think this woman could have kept this place together like she's done? Nothing is missing in this building. Nothing is lacking. That woman was hooked in with Father God. She wasn't looking at the system. She wasn't looking at what other pastors did. She obeyed the voice of her daddy. That's why we're still here. You obey the voice of your daddy and you will be blessed exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Don't you come in here to Living Faith and then act like you don't have any. Act like you don't have a daddy. You got a daddy. He'll take care of you. He'll bless you with more than you deserve. You'll be given houses and lands, stuff you didn't work for. Ooh, glory to God. I see I'm out of time, but I'm not through yet. So. Y'all hang with me. I'm almost done. You understand the scripture. It said no longer are you not going to get the harvest you toil for. For a moment, I'd like to speak to every person in here who has a tan. There was a day in America that people were brought from Africa, other places, and they were sold as slaves. They were put on plantations, and they were taught how to kill the animals, to make the animals for food. They were taught how to feed them, how to clean the pig pen, how to clean the hog pen, all of these things. How to put that pig up on a hook, slit it down the center, entrails fall out. The white man, it's painful to say it, not me, because I don't identify. Doesn't mean I deny, because I just heard somebody's thought. It doesn't mean I deny what happened. I know exactly what happened, but I don't identify. There's a difference. They taught the man how to pull out the pork tenderloin, how to pull out the good parts, the ribs. They cut the ears off, threw them in the corner. Cut the snout off, put it in the corner. Cut the head, put it in the corner. Cut out the intestines, put them in the corner. The throwaway food, the leftovers. And you people, some of your relatives who are the most creative people that God ever made. I say that to you with the deepest of my heart. Said, I believe I can do something with that. And that's why today we have chitlins, we have oxtail soup, we have greens with neck bones. That's why we have hog head cheese. That's why we have fried chicken feet, because of you all. And today, pork belly is served at the most exclusive restaurants in the world. Who came up with that? You. But you know what God says to you today? Because you're my child. Put your hand on your heart. Say, because I'm his child. He said, never again. He said, never again are you going to have to do that. He said, I have the best for my children. I have the best for my children. I have the filet mignon. I have the pork tenderloin. I have the best of the ribs for you, my son and my daughter. Never again will you be in... Oh. Never again will you be in... Oh. Never again will you be enslaved to the ways of this world. I said, never again will you be, as a child of God, will you be enslaved to the ways of this world. You ought to be happy about that. Never again. Just give him a wave offering. Say no more leftovers. Say no more leftovers. God said, I've so blessed you, my son and my daughter. You're going to enjoy all the fruits of your own labor. Nobody going to be able to stop you. Nobody going to be able to block you but yourself. The devil can't do it. The only way the devil can't do it is for you to give him power when you open the door in your life. When you open up the door in your life to fear, doubt, unbelief. Because your identity is in your heavenly Father. Just lift up your hands. Say, my identity is in my heavenly Father. I'm part of another family. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me, for freeing me, for blessing me, for healing me. And I will enjoy these days that you have given to me. And all the seeds I've planted, I will reap a harvest for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I receive my spiritual inheritance and my earthly inheritance. It belongs to me. I'm no longer a part of this world. I'm a part of God's family. And I'm going to enjoy it. Say, my blessing season is here. My blessing season is here. Hallelujah! My blessing season is here. I receive it. We're no longer victims, we're victors. We're no longer depressed, we're encouraged. We're no longer broke, we're blessed. We're no longer sick, we're well. Our negative mindsets are gone. Our minds are filled with faith. No more stinking thinking. Our thoughts are on Him, on His Word. Hear me. I give you a warning. The enemy has distracted some of us. We're in church. We love God. We have become distracted by what's going on in the world, by what's going on politically, by what's going on in our own family, by what's going on in our finances. Distraction, as Miles Monroe used to say, is two words. Dis is remove, and traction is pulling power. What's happened to the church? We've lost our pulling power. We're sitting in the church. We hear the word, but we can't connect with it because we become distracted. Just lift up your hands. I need to just pray a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, take the spirit of distraction away from us. Remove all that. I don't even know how to say it, God. All that waste. Remove all that waste from our minds, God, where we have been distracted by our finances, our family, our children, the world, politics, our lives. God, forgive us because we have allowed the spirit of distraction. Give us our pulling power back in this season. In the name of Jesus. Give my brothers and sisters their pulling power back. In the name of Jesus. Say, give me my pulling power back, God. Say, give me my pulling power back, God. In Jesus' name. Now he said, pass through the gates. We just passed through them. New mindset. New way of thinking. We're victors, not victims. Then he says, build up the highway. Why do you say build up the highway? Because in the olden days, when the king was coming to a city, the people of the town would go out because they did not have paved roads. They didn't even have brick roads. There were potholes. And so they would fill up the potholes so when the king could come in, he could come in on a smooth ride. God wants you to build up your highway. God wants you to put things aside and get back to prayer. Your eyes on Jesus. Come together in this church with unity. Let us build up the highway. Because God wants to ride in once again. God wants a move of God. God wants a revival. But we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. So I'm telling you, in your life, say, God, show me the potholes. Show me where I need to build up the highway. Show us the potholes. Show us where there's lack. Show us where there's void, God, so that in our lives we can build up the highway and prepare a way for our Jesus to come again in the Holy Spirit. Then he says, remove the stones. Get rid of the hindrances in your life. And you know what they are. Can I just be, am I doing all right, Pastor? I just have a few more verses. Okay. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in my house. And if I'm not careful, sis, I'll think I'm okay. I'm in full-time ministry. I'm not smoking. I'm not doping. I'm not drinking. I'm pretty good, right? Not doing all those things that bad people do. So I'm sitting in my house, and my husband and I love coffee. And several years ago, we ministered in Europe, and we went to these people's house, and brother, they had this fine coffee machine. You know, it grinds the beans, and you just press a button, and whatever you want, cafe latte, cafe macchiato, whatever. You know, all those coffees. And so we came back home, and my husband says, we got to get one of those. And it's not like you can go to Walmart and get it for $19.95, you know. So we bought one, and we've made over 5,000 cups of coffee with that coffee machine. So it's done well. But my husband was standing in front of the coffee machine, and he goes, oh, no, this thing is broken. Oh, I'm going to have to get a new coffee machine. It's broken. All of the sudden, it wasn't about the money of the coffee machine, but you need to understand what happened to Helen, who loves Jesus. Every bit of peace, every bit of joy, even my physical strength was stripped from my body. I'm just being real and honest to help you. Because how often do we allow things to do that? And it wasn't about the money. We can get the money to get another machine, but something happened to me. I knew when you have a knee-jerk reaction, don't have time to preach that message, but when you have a knee-jerk reaction to something, it's not the something that you're having a knee-jerk reaction about. It's something else that is down there in you that has never yet been healed. God is calling for Helen to be holy. He wants to make me whole. And the word for salvation is not just saving your soul. It actually means wholeness. So there was something in me, bro, that needed some help. So I got in my car and started driving. I said, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And the Holy Spirit brought back to me an atmosphere that was created in my house growing up. My daddy died. And once he died, we lived on a very limited income. And it was very, if something broke in our house, my faith-filled mother lost her faith. And the atmosphere went from faith, loving Jesus, to the entire atmosphere changed out of fear, out of worry, out of angst. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And I had forgotten about that, and I had succumbed to the very atmosphere that I experienced as a child. I said, God, forgive me. I ask you to take that out of me, because hear me, now I'm going to get loud, nothing should be able to steal your strength, your peace, and your joy. Nothing. Greater is he who is within me than he who is within the world. So I'm exposing something today. So this week, some things are going to happen to you. And you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. And you're going to understand you've got to go back and give that thing to God. Let it go. Let it go and release it. Because God is calling for a people with a victorious mindset. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Get rid of every hindrance. Then he said, raise a banner for the nations. Banners are a sign of victory. Quit carrying around the sad sign. It's difficult. It's hard. It's painful. How much longer? I just talked to a lady the other day. She goes, how much longer is God going to make us go through this? I wanted to say, as soon as you stop it, as soon as you stop saying what you're saying and thank him, he will bless you. And then Come on, give a banner of victory right now. I'm just about winding this down. And then he says this, verse 11. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the church of Living Faith Christian Center, see your Savior comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Every time you hear that first thing, see your Savior comes, we think that's Jesus coming in the second coming. And to me, it's not. Every day, Jesus comes by your house. Every day, he wants to have a divine encounter with you. Every day. See, he's coming. And it says his reward is with him. Every day, God wants to give you something. What you need from God today? You need peace? He'll give you peace. You need joy, he'll give you joy. You need a job, he'll give you a job. His reward is with him. Oh, I just got to obey God, okay? Sis, I know you're tired. I know you're tired of waiting. I've been there. I've been there, sis. Hold on. Trust God. Keep your faith up. God told me to tell you he's not forgotten you, but behind the scenes, he's working in your life. If you just trust him, he'll make a way out of no way. If you just trust him, his reward is with him. And then the next thing I love, I'm bringing it down, I promise. I need to quit saying that, I guess. And his recompense accompanies him. Anybody know what recompense is? I had a car accident a few years ago. They hit me. It's their fault. They had to pay for my medical bills. They had to pay when I was off work. They had to pay to fix my car, which they totaled it. And then they gave me compensation. Compensation. Give me your compensation comes for pain and suffering. Jesus is coming by your house today to pay you back for your pain and your suffering. Lift up your hands. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for overwhelming blessing from heaven that you are coming to pay them back for the pain, for the suffering, for the misunderstanding, for the confusion, for the battle they fought in their mind, from the battle they thought, you God, you know what all the battles were. I decree and I declare God's compensation is coming to your house and coming to this church in the name of Jesus. Say, my compensation is coming. Say, it's here and I receive it. Say, I receive my compensation. Say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. All over this building, I decree blessing. I decree favor in the name of Jesus. I decree inheritances you weren't expecting. I decree refunds in the mail that you didn't even know. We're coming to you. Father, I thank you. I decree favor with bosses. Oh, I decree favor with immigration. I decree favor, 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 favor. God, your reward, your recompense accompanies me. That means it's with me. Everywhere I go, I'm getting compensated. Peace, joy, whatever I need, healing. In the name of Jesus, I decree it. I speak it over your life today. Then I'm finished. It says this, and you will be called the holy people, set apart, prepared for works of service, for the healing and the mending of souls. He's anointed us as holy vessels to bind up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. To set the captives free. We have a lot of work ahead of us, Living Christ. And then he said this about you. And about Living Christ. And you will be called sought after. The people, the person, the church. no longer left alone, no longer deserted, but you will be called sought after. There will be such a magnetic anointing upon this house and upon your life. People who never gave you the time of day are going to be, they're going to want to be around you. Why do you got what you got? Hallelujah. We will be called sought after. The people no longer deserted. The best is yet to come. Our greatest days start now. We are stepping over into our promised land. Yes, there will be a Jericho or two, but we have already overcome and we have already won, saith the Lord. Father, I love you. I thank you. I bless you. I decree and I declare, Father, that these people heard this word, that it got into their spirits, God, and that we are stepping over into the new, that we no longer identify ourselves as anything but a child of the Most High God, and we will walk in signs and wonders and miracles. And Pastor Connie shall see. Before she takes her last breath, and that's going to be a long time from now, she will see every promise fulfilled over this house. This house will be known as a house of signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Heal my brothers and sisters. Lift each one of them in the spirit of their mind. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen them. May the word that was preached today be sealed. May it satisfy them. Father, we thank you. The distractions are gone. Father, we thank you. Our identity is in whom we belong to. That is you. We identify as a citizen of the kingdom of God, a daughter, a son of the Most High God. We walk in a realm with you we've never known before. Father, I thank you. This morning before I sit down, is there anybody here today that would say, I want to know that Jesus you're talking about today? Is there anybody here who would say, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior? I'm going to just walk across the building a couple times. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand. Anybody at all says, I don't know Jesus. I want to receive him as my Savior. Anybody at all? I see the prayer teams up. Is there anybody at all who would be so bold to say, I need Jesus? I love you. I love you. I believe in this church. And I pray God will let me to live to be really old so I can come back and celebrate the 50th. Hallelujah. And look what the Lord has done. God bless you today. God love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Wow, sitting in the presence of God, nothing better. Amen? God is awesome. Praise God. Thank you for that word. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. Well, it's time for tithes and offering. Amen? Hopefully, if you have a pink envelope. If you do not, the ushers will gladly give you one. Put your name, date, member number, address. On the first top section there is your tithe. That's your 10%, your gross income. And then in the second box, you could choose what you want to give your offering, your free will of from your heart, what you would like to give. And then you total up the tithe and the offering and then put it at the bottom there. Amen. And if you could turn to the book of Hezekiah. Turn to the book of Hezekiah. Just kidding. There's no Hezekiah. Just making sure we have some people that are reading their Bibles here. Turn to the book of Haggai. Haggai verse 1. Am I saying that right? Haggai? I know different people say it different ways. Praise God. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and in this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but do not fill, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and of the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, and men on livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. With that, I'm saying is, God, you know, sometimes we want a new kitchen, new bathroom, but God's house has got to come first. You know, the kingdom of God is, we're reaching out to the world, and it's most important is to make sure God's house. And it's not like God doesn't know that you need a new kitchen. I mean, come on, seriously. Like, God knows your desires. He really, if you really desire to have a kitchen in due season, right? And as Pastor Helen Trowbridge says, who's your daddy? Amen? So, with that, if the video can go over in ways in which you can give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Praise God. If you guys could stand to your feet. And then when you're leaving, there's the two black boxes in the back, just for those who are unfamiliar, that you could place your tithes and offering in those boxes in the back. Amen? All right, we'll do our confession here. Praise God. All right, begin. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out a blessing we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families. In Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8, Amen. Amen. Lord God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that the windows are open for us, Lord God, that we can continually give back into your kingdom, Lord God, that many would come to know you, Lord God, that the people would come from the streets all over, Lord God, that signs and wonders would happen, healings, and Lord God, that we would continually pack this house, Lord God, for your glory, that people would shout and praise your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And at this time, welcome Elder Robert for Hot Topics.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I have a few hot topics this afternoon. First, is your child in need of a backpack for this coming school year? If so, please take a moment to complete a short form available in a sanctuary foyer. Backpacks will be ready for pickup in the main lobby at the front desk after today's service. On Sunday, September 7th, right after service, we will be holding a performing arts ministry workshop led by Marie Salter. This ministry combines dance and drama to glorify God and minister through creative expression. Marie, who's trained churches across the tri-state area, will be sharing the vision and purpose of this powerful ministry. All members who are currently part of this ministry are expected to attend, and the workshop is also open to anyone who is seriously considering joining. If you feel called to serve through the arts, please sign up today on our website, which is www.lfccnj.com. We look forward to seeing you there. Please continue to join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. online for our regular scheduled service on YouTube. Awesome messages. And finally, the book, Opening the Door to Your Future, written by the late Dr. Lamont, will be given away today to anyone who has never received a copy. So if you have a copy already, please allow those who don't have one to be blessed. So those are for people who have never received a copy.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a lot out of that for years and years and years. We have been changed. We will never be the same. Let's give glory and honor to God for this extraordinary ministry for 40 years upon into us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give honor and God to Pastor Lamont and Pastor Connie. She has served us unselfishly, poured out her love, her advice, her guidance, and she just really paved the way for us. She cared for us. She loves us, and she cared for our soul. And she has ministered to us, unselfishly. Oh, Pastor Connor, we really love you. We really thank you for all that you have done. This ministry is recognized throughout the Delaware Valley. And so, Pastor Connor, if you come forward, the Camden County Board of Commissioners would like to recognize you as well. Okay. And so, therefore, they have provided a proclamation for you.
Okay.
And I just like the Camden County. Okay, I would like to read it.
Okay.
This is Camden County Proclamation. Whereas, it is the desire of the Board of Commission of the Camden County to recognize organizations that made a lasting transformative impact in their community. And whereas, Living Faith Christian Center founded July 1985 by the late Dr. Lamont McLean and co-pastor Constance R. McLean, began humbly with just 10 members in the basement of their home in Earl, New Jersey, has flourished into a multicultural, multi-generational church, which has impacted thousands of lives over the last several decades. And whereas Pastor Constance McLean, a native of Paulsboro, overcame tremendous challenges, including a severe stutter, Bell palsy, that led him to establish both a thriving ministry and Universal Technology Resources Incorporation, an international consulting firm headquartered in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, under Pastor Malene's visionary leadership. Living Faith Christian Center expanded rapidly, relocating to South Jersey Expo Center in Pennsauken, and developed many outreach ministries. In June 30, 2007, Dr. McLean went home to be with the Lord. The very next day, Pastor Connie stepped into the role of senior pastor of Living Faith, transforming from co-pastor in the wake of unimaginable loss, the passing of her husband, the father of her children, and her spiritual partner. Despite her grief, Pastor Connie courageously preached all three service Sunday service, standing before her congregation with unwavering faith and strength. She encouraged them with these powerful words: "Even though all of us may be surprised, God was not surprised. God is our Father. He is still with us, and he'll see us through this." And whereas Living Faith Christian Center was unwavering spiritual service, community empowerment and leadership, and honor and enduring vision and life of its founder, the late Dr. Lamont McLean and Pastor Constant McLean, the remarkable success of these 40 years can be credited to the solid foundation laid by the vision of the late Dr. Lamont McLean and Pastor Constant McLean, steadfast dedication, high standards of excellence, relationship building skills, and deep love for people. Now, therefore, as a Board of Commissioners of the Camden County does hereby celebrate 40 years of Living Faith Christian Center, and does urge the citizens of the County of Camden to join in supporting this pillar in the community. It's signed by the Louis Capella, Commissioner, Jeffrey Nash, Commissioner, Edward McDowell, Commissioner, Deputy Director, Jonathan Young, Commissioner, Alma Dyer, Commissioner, Virginia Belleridge, Commissioner, and Jennifer Cooley, Firstner, Commissioner. Given under the hand of and seal of the Camden County, this 24th day of August, 2025.
Amen. Yeah. Nice job.
A well-deserved honor for our pastor and for this ministry. So thank you, Pastor Connie.
Nice. Praise the Lord. Proclamation. Amen. Praise God from Camden County. You didn't have to pay him for that, did you? No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. I'm honored that they honored me and us. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Thank you, Elder Bobby. I'll read this again when I get home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we've had a great 40 days. I hope you've enjoyed the little things we've sprinkled out. I think today we're having a water ice or something. Yeah, we're giving out water ice. So when we dismiss here, if you don't mind, give me 5 more minutes. Okay. So on Friday night at the banquet, we honored the members that have been here for 30-plus years. And 5 of those members could not make it. So if you are here, I want to call out the names of the 5 that couldn't make it. Calantha Davis. Calantha Davis. Did she come today? Oh, there she is. Calantha, you feel like making your way up here? Debbie Gamble. Is Debbie Gamble here today? Debbie Gamble. Debbie. Or you could just stand up, Calantha. Go ahead and stand up. We'll bring you your gift. Debbie Gamble couldn't make it. Eslyn Barham. Is Eslyn here? Eslyn Barham. She's been here for 31 years. Calantha was here for 34 years, Debbie Gamble, 33 years, Eslyn Barham, she sings on Praise and Worship, 31 years, Deb Washington, I know I saw Deb, Deborah Washington for 30 years, and Carl Copes. Could Carl make it today? Carl Copes, he's here, there he is, Carl Copes for 32 years. Come on, y'all. That's a long time to be faithful to not just a church, but to one church. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they haven't been jumping all around. They've been coming steady, loving steadily, contributing steadily, serving steadily. And I just want you to know I appreciate you. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And just thank you. Thank you for serving and being a part of our family. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call out the other names real quick, and then I think we'll be finished. So Mickey Tuck, Michelle Tuck, she was one for 35 years. You can stand up if you're here. Michelle Tuck, Rosemary Robinson, Wilhelmina Battle, Roxanne G. Jones. Roxanne, are you here? Barbara Massey. Barbara Massey's back there standing at the door as a greeter. Kim Chavis, Minister Kim Chavis. Minister Sheila Campbell. They wasn't always ministers. Amen. Andrew Robbins, Yvonne Kilson. If you're here, stand, please. Andrew Robinson. Yep. Michael Chavis. Elder Bobby Battle. And Brian Clark, who I'm sure is in the back somewhere. So he's in the video area. Praise the Lord. So, so we just wanted to honor them. And they've been an important part of our family, our church family. Amen. And I know you all have been blessed by them. Those of you who have been here less than 30 years, that they've affected you, touched you, prayed for you, smiled at you, hugged you, something in the past 30 years. Amen. All right, I think that's it. So, Mr. Helen, she really blessed us. Yeah. You know, she prayed and she fasted, and so I see her message. She heard, purposely heard from God for us. So her message today is an open door for all of us to receive everything that she preached about, said God told her to declare. We've got open doors. Our best days are yet to come. The glory of our latter house is going to be better than our former house. And God is getting ready to do some great things. Amen. And so you need to double down on your decrees and declarations. And you need to just speak those things that she spoke about in your own life, and just speak it out bold. Just say what God says. Amen. You know, even though you feel silly or crazy, but if we don't say it, it's not going to happen. Amen. All right, everybody. Well, let's close out in prayer. Thank you so much for being patient. This was the longest day of those 40 days. Amen. What? Oh, first time attenders. Any first time attenders? Everybody sit down again. Hey! Well, we're glad you came for sure. Amen? We love you. Make sure you come often, okay? And hang out here. Make yourself at home. Meet your family. Amen? Praise God. Let's give him a hand. And thanks for coming. Amen. All right, everybody. Yes? What? Oh, another person. First time. What? Oh, right here. Okay. Praise the Lord. Welcome. We're so glad you came. You could have been anywhere else, but you came here today. So We thank you for coming. We hope you were blessed by the word. I know you were. And you're welcome back anytime. Anytime. You know, now you know where we are and what we look like inside. So we welcome you back anytime. So thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. I think this is for real. Look at Brother Derek's like, do I get up yet? Amen. Praise God. Okay, everybody. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. God, we make ourselves excited. We stir ourselves up according to your word, according to what the word that was spoken over us. Father, we thank you for 40 days celebrating 40 years. God, you're a good God and faithful, faithful, so faithful. And we just thank you and we bless you. Father, we do declare and decree according to your word. We agree with you that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're believing that, say, I'm blessed. All right, I love you. Mwah.